Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
It don't matter, he's dope, he knows that, but he's pro. He's so stagnant, he knows when he goes back to this mobile home, that's when it's back to the lab again, yo. This old rhapsody better go capture this moment and hope it don't do better.
Project Dynamo's prospective bidder remains a secret. This is wrong. The residents needed to know this was an Amazon-like distribution center in the plan months ago. Not now, through following breadcrumbs and clues. You have been unfaithful to your residents. Whether the current statutes allow the secrecy or not, it's dishonorable and faithless to the citizens you serve.
This has been a repeated criticism of the Escambia County commissioners because of the, you know, code name secrecy around certain economic development projects, possibilities out at OLF 8 and elsewhere. The Dynamo is the one where they're worried it's going to be an Amazon-style warehouse, and maybe it's going to be Amazon itself. I've been told by people that, they say that the Amazon operation at Ellison Field is maybe going to move. And so, okay, that may be in the works. It may not be in the works. I don't know. But this is a woman named Karen Thompson showing up at the county commission meeting talking about this concern, the secrecy. I understand why there's secrecy, because companies don't want to have everybody knowing what's going on and what they're planning to do until it actually comes out in the open. At the same time, there's generally at such a high level of mistrust, particularly with this county commission in Escambia County, that people just, they don't give the benefit of the doubt. They feel like they've been misled or bad decisions or backroom deals made too many times that they don't feel like they can trust. Even, you know, you might normally trust if you saw a lot of good results and you saw a lot of good decisions, but we just don't really have that in Escambia County right now as part of the problem.
Don't tell us a distribution center abides by the master plan. It does not. Someone is benefiting from this deal, and they are likely sitting in front of us today, but their motivation remains secret, just like the OLF 8 bidder.
And of course, you can't evaluate whether somebody might be benefiting from somebody something until you can know who it is and, you know, what kind of connections there might be, right? The sort of sunshine law transparency stuff. That's kind of what she's saying. You know, maybe you'd rather believe there's no corruption involved at all, and we of course don't know if there is, but you can't know until you know what's really going on.
We have a board member who just has been voted out. Ask yourself, why is that board member still so hot for this deal? He's out in a few months, he's irrelevant then. Why the need to get this done now?
Yeah, she's talking about Jeff Bergosh, of course, and there's sort of several different answers to that, but one answer might be that he knows his time on the board is ending and he'd like to feel like he went out with a win. You know, I can see that being a motivation. There's also, you know, sort of less honorable reasons that you might imagine as well. But, you know, she's giving the less charitable version. But that's kind of the question. Again, there's so little trust that they're wondering, well, why the rush? You know, why the rush on the sports complex? Why the, you know, for example,
I say this entire project be put on hold until the new board of commissioners assumes office. There is no reason to rush this through unless there is a reason we don't know about. Who benefits from this and can't influence this decision as a commissioner after the new year? Is that why this is being rushed?
And, you know, again, I always try to give the benefit of the doubt where I can. You know, Jeff Bergosh has so consistently over the years said that the purpose of this project was to create jobs, and he has been dragged kicking and screaming to the master plan agreement of having, you know, a town center and residences and public amenities on that land at OLF 8 right next to Navy Federal off of 9 Mile, that you can just chalk it up to normal human, you know, stubbornness. Like, he just wants to see that done, and he's worried that if he's gone from office, you know, that same thing won't be accomplished there, whether because it's what he's always wanted or because he believes it's good for the community, you know, either way. In this case, you don't have to imply worse motives, okay? Just sort of human nature takes over. The rhetoric was even stronger from some people.
Good morning, all of you. It seems that what's going on here is more like a dictatorship instead of democracy. You have the people that voted you in that have been telling you what we want in the OLF situation. In democracy, that's the way you're supposed to move forward with.
Which is another problem with the Escambia County Commission, is the feeling by the people that they don't listen, that they're going to do whatever they're going to do, and that you can go up there and protest, and then they just do. And it doesn't matter, and they don't care, and they've made their decisions. And even in an election year, the responsiveness is low, and in non-election years, it's zero, is what a lot of people feel like. I know a lot of people who just don't even bother going because they feel like they can't what's the point? I'm going to go and I'm going to complain and they're not going to do anything. And so you have this, again, like this cultural view that the board is indifferent to what people are concerned about. And whether that's true or not, that is the perception. So you've got to, you know, you got to fix that. The, the perception is reality in this case. So this person is saying, Roy Perry is saying, you know, it's like a dictatorship. You're not willing to listen to us. Jeff Bergosh's response.
We did end up making a compromise. I feel like I've kept my word on that compromise, and I will till I walk out the door. It is a democracy, but we live in a constitutional republic. So when you elect a county commissioner, whether it's me, whether it's my successor, whether it's my predecessor, they cannot be handcuffed to this idea of a wide open democracy where every decision has to be made by consent of everyone that they represent. It wouldn't work.
Okay, some notes. First of all, I don't know why he never says Doug Underhill's name or Steve Stroberger's name. It's always my successor, my predecessor. It just, you know, seems petty to me. But I actually agree with him about this. Now, he calls it the wrong thing. It's not because it's a constitutional republic. The county is not a constitutional republic in that same sense. It's a representative democracy is the right word, because you elect somebody to represent you and make decisions. And he's right. You can't make decisions based on, you know, direct democracy, the population voting on every single thing. And, you know, I actually agree with him that, you know, if five angry people show up at the county commission meeting, that doesn't mean you have to do what they want. But you do have to show a willingness to listen to what they're saying. And that's often the problem here.
Sometimes you got to vote against an angry crowd sitting in the gallery because the angry crowd doesn't represent the silent majority. OLF 8, I look forward to seeing what's developed there. It'll happen many, many years after I'm gone, if at all.
If at all? What does that mean? Well, I mean, we got, 7 years of nothing so far, and that there's no guarantee anything ever happens there, right? No, but that's, again, I agree with him. You know, it's one of the hard parts about being a city council member or county commissioner or school board member is, you know, the 10, 20, 30 angry people in their same colored shirts all show up at one time. It's hard to sit there and look at them and say no. It is hard. And they're not always right. The mob is not always right. And not necessarily only because they don't represent all the people, although that's true. It could be that they really represent the people, but you know better. And your job is to do what you think is the right thing. And sometimes that means doing the unpopular things. I actually agree with them about that. I don't think in this case it necessarily applies, but theoretically that's exactly right. We'll come back to this in a second because what they did after was kind of interesting. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about, but if you're traveling on Highway 29 right around East 10, 10 Mile Road, you're going to see some delays southbound. And let's see here. Also, if you are going I-10 eastbound, heading toward the Highway 29 exit, you're going to see some minor delays there, just the traffic through that construction zone. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So back to this conversation about OLF-8 and the three different kind of working project possibilities, I would say, at this point. One is the kind of the distribution warehouse one that Rick Byers, who's the acting CEO for Florida West, that's the Economic Development Agency for Escambia County. You know, he used to be with Gulf Power and FPL. You know, he says that the wages are somewhat low on some of them. You know, there were three companies. An average across the three is $52,000. It's $38,000 for one, $67,000 for the other, and $68,000 for the other. Those are all low end. Those are all starting, so it could be much more than that. But a lot of those folks are, they believe that the master plan for OLF-8, which, you know, what was that? Didn't Navy Federal paid for the master plan, right, as part of the 100-acre trade-off that they would get to develop into that gorgeous park. They paid $1.5 million for the DPZ master plan, which everybody is also worried that the county commission won't hold up honoring that, even though they keep saying they will. And they have not done anything yet to violate it. But this starts to feel like a violation of it, this distribution warehouse kind of concept. That's why they were saying that. In any case, this was not a final decision that they were talking about. This was a continue conversation sort of decision. It was not doing anything final. But I thought it was really weirdly telling the way particularly Stephen Berry, District 5 County Commissioner, the way he responded to these concerns. First, I want to give him his say on this because it's kind of interesting.
We haven't had the opportunity to do that yet. That's why nothing's happened on the property. You know, we haven't had the opportunity to place high wage jobs out there yet. So that's why it hasn't happened. You know, we haven't done anything that's placed that's done anything negative on the property. We certainly haven't done anything placing, you know, low wages on the property. We haven't had an opportunity to do what we want to do yet, so we haven't done anything.
Which is an accurate description of what they've done, which is nothing. Okay, they've said no to a lot of deals, and they've not made a mistake, but they have let the ground lay unused all this time. And, you know, so you can say, well, at least we didn't put crummy jobs out there. Yeah, but you got no jobs. You know, nothing. No houses, no fire station, which is where the fire station should have been built, by the way. No schools, no nothing. They can't even play out there. Can't even do your ATVs and your RC cars and, you know, play frisbee and, you know, golf if you wanted to, because it's all fenced off, which I've long thought was just a waste of this public land, right? Anyway, he says that we have avoided mistakes by doing nothing.
And, I hope it's not, you know, trying to be perfect, being the enemy of good. You know, I don't think we've had that proposal yet that really made sense to put something on the ground. And there has been a commitment from this board to not put something out there that wasn't a good situation.
So we've been not doing anything for a long time now. And as Commissioner Burgosh says, you know, we've had many offers and we've done nothing.
I would simply say this. We've had no fewer than 10 offers, this board, 10 offers, and we've done nothing.
So the problem I have with this is we have a, in my opinion, okay, really good possible partner in Fred Hemmer. The Beulah Town Center, Town Square, I forget the exact name of it, the proposal. Teresa Blackwell, who has been a crusader on this for the community, the opposite voice of the county commission, they want the jobs. She wants what the many people in the community also want, which is town center amenities, shops, you know, restaurants, and housing, you know, all of that, like a major development. And she's been doing such tremendous work over the years to follow all this. And she's said that Fred Hemmer honors the master plan, wants to do it, is willing to do it. And the county commission, it has been irrationally reluctant to let Fred do it. Now, they keep hemming and hawing about Fred. And one possibility is that what he's offering just isn't right. Okay, that's one possibility. Another possibility is, and I hate to have to say it, but the county commissioners, the three in charge, Lumen May, Stephen Barry, and Jeff Burgosh, in charge for now, have earned a reputation for petty, vindictive, personality-based decisions. And in this case, Fred was a supporter of Doug Underhill, and anybody who supports Doug Underhill is going to earn the hatred and opposition of the board. And are they dragging their feet on letting Fred Hemmer do this because it's not a good deal? Or are they dragging their feet on this because they're not going to let him be the guy? Come hell or high water, they're not going to say yes to him, even if it costs them seats on the board, right? And you heard, I think, you know, you don't even have to read much between the lines. Stephen Barry could not have been more clear saying that at least for the next month that he's still in office, and if he wins re-election against, you know, no party affiliate Josh Roberson, which is certainly very much an open question, if he is still back in office, he will not accept Fred Hemmer as the guy. Now, he may not be able to stop it with other people on the board, but he said this so many times the other day that it was clear as a bell, the message, I don't want to work with Fred Hemmer.
I don't know that we have a resume to be optimistic, but we get a lot of bad feedback. But I still feel optimistic. At some point in time, we're going to get a partner that comes in and says, you know what, guys, I'm going to pay the taxpayers back. I'm going to put the project on the ground that you want. You're going to be happy with the money that you receive from the sale of the property, and we're going to develop it in something that the community sees as a good thing, as a mixed use project. We're going to put jobs on the northern part, and we'll take it from here.
I'm hoping that eventually we can find that good partner, meaning we don't have him yet.
But I think it just comes down to having the right partner that's really wanting to help us check this box, check that box, check that box. And that will come at some point in time.
As in, we don't have it already. Lumen May.
You're point on, Steve. I mean, with everything you're saying, I think that that's probably the direction that gets us out of the development business. And a person understands, you know, how to live, work, and play, how to make, you know, a great community, a walkable, enjoyable community at the same time creating jobs. It happens every day across this country. We just got to have the right partner to do it. And I mean, right.
Same message. We don't have the partner yet.
I think it's a tremendous partner. What I would love to be able to do is ask a real partner that's going to work to develop the property with us, ask him to work hand in hand with Rick, you know, with Rick and Florida West to deliver, you know, deliver the jobs that are so important to the board.
So, John, you're hearing this for the first time. And just one more real quick before I ask you the question.
A couple of the mixed-use projects we looked at last year are the highest sales tax revenue per acre in the state of Alabama. Wow. That concept works, and we just got to have the right partner and put it on the ground.
No less than five times in the space of a few minutes did Stephen Barry say, "We got to find the right partner. We got to find the right partner," which to my ears was him clearly saying, "I'm not going to work with you, Fred Hemmer." Now, John, you've never heard this before. This is the first time you're hearing it. Do you hear it that way?
I do.
So that's weird, right? That's not, let's keep talking, let's see if we can figure this out. That's not you. And for what reason? Again, you have to ask yourself what you believe about why. Now, I will say, and this is, I always try to tell you as much of the truth as I possibly can. You had Dave Merzen, who's a dear friend, was there, and he was representing First Place Partners, this private group of private companies who are all into economic development, and they were in favor of this plan, the Project Dynamo, to the degree that they know about it. And Rick Byers, you know, the interim CEO at Florida West, is very much into this as well. So it's not that there's nobody in favor. Okay, and I want to make sure that you hear that as well. I just continue to think it's weird that they're not willing to work with Fred Hemmer on this. Or, I mean, God, what, Navy Federal? They did a pretty good job on the park. You know, maybe they don't want to develop it, but some people said, maybe let them develop it. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. We're seeing some delays right now if you are heading from Gulf Breeze into Pensacola before you get to the 3 Mile Bridge, seeing some minor delays there. Also seeing some delays, Highway 29 and 9 Mile in that intersection in all directions. Seeing some delays there. No accidents to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Big Time Entertainment presents live in concert the legendary Oak Ridge Boys in Pensacola. Members of the Grand Ole Opry, Country Music Hall of Fame, and five-time Grammy Award winners, the Oak Ridge Boys. The Oak Ridge Boys. The Oak Ridge Boys, American Made Farewell Tour. Sunday, October 6th at the Sanger Theater in Pensacola.
My baby is American Made.
Than 30 top 10 hits and over a dozen number ones. The Oak Ridge Boys, one night only.
After y'all come back, salute.
Get your tickets now at the Sanger Theater box office or Ticketmaster.com.
And we will sail away on the wings of love into the night.
The Oak Ridge Boys.
Yes, I'm setting fancy free.
Don't miss the Oak Ridge Boys at the Sanger Theater in Pensacola, October 6th.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Don't forget who the real enemy is. He is described in 1 Peter 5:8, where the Bible says, "Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." The devil is the diabolical one. He is as a roaring lion who is prowling around the neighborhood, seeking whom he may devour spiritually. Inside a home, a brother and sister or a husband and a wife may be arguing, maybe slamming doors and yelling, but the moment that they recognize that there's a prowler outside the house, petty differences and the argument disappear, and the family unites as one to protect their home. So it is God's call on His children to be sober and vigilant and resist the real enemy, the devil, and he will flee from you.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Are you a business owner? Do you love sports? I bet your audience does too. What if I told you I could help you reach your audience while they are at a sporting event? Hi, I'm Lexi with ADX Digital, and I can help you connect with your audience. Call 850-262-6000 and build a digital campaign with me today. ADX Digital is locally owned and part of the ADX Communications family, inclusive of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, and Pensacola's Playlist 94.5.
Join Claimology today at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Matthew Vanderford with Claimology will be talking about insurance claims. He'll be discussing storm claims, as well as the importance of being properly insured prior to a storm and inspections after a storm. Matthew will be taking calls to answer your questions, so you'll know what to do before the next storm arrives. That's today at 9:30 with Claimology on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. The Pensacola Expert Panel. Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Boring.
And all the girlies say I'm pretty fly for a white guy.
Well, I believe the billboard said not boring, so take that, Homer. 729 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, President Biden will be in Georgia today surveying storm damage. He's also scheduled to visit Florida, where Helene made landfall a week ago. The strike by dock workers prompting panic buying all across the country. It's closed down many U.S. ports. Now it's apparently affecting the supply of toilet paper all across the land once again. Hope you're stocked up.
The perception of scarcity is causing scarcity for a product that is actually manufactured in the United States and not shipped by container ship. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Outstanding.
Absolutely.
Well done, humans. Y'all the best. Thanks for playing.
CJ Papa striking union members walking the picket lines third day in a row, shutting down 36 ports from Maine to Texas.
Way behind the curve on with inflation. That's why we're on strike today.
Johnny Dixon, a local union president in Miami, supply chain expert Jim Nellis earlier on Fox and Friends.
This is going to impact a lot of people.
Fox's Lex McAdams at the Red Hook Terminal in Brooklyn, New York.
They have people out here 24 hours a day saying they're not going to go back on the job no matter what until they get back to the table to get more money and no automation.
President Biden flying over North Carolina Wednesday, surveying the damage. Today, he's visiting parts of hard-hit Florida and Georgia from Hurricane Helene. Vice President Harris in Wisconsin today, an event in Ripon, home to the Little White House Schoolhouse, where an 1854 meeting led to the formation of the Republican Party. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 73 degrees. It is sunny and a beautiful morning here in Pensacola. A driver was hurt after crashing into a home in Escambia County yesterday afternoon. This happened at the intersection of Sunshine Hill and Molino Roads. FHP says a 54-year-old man ran off the road, hit a ditch. His truck then went airborne and crashed through a wall and into a home. EMS transported that driver to the hospital. There was also a passenger in the vehicle, but there's no word on their injuries. The crash is still under investigation. Escambia County investigators looking into a couple of unrelated shootings yesterday. One man in the hospital after a shooting near Fairfield Drive in Escambia County. That happened about 9:30 last night. There's no word on that victim's current condition. Deputies say there's also no suspect in custody in that case. And in a separate incident, a suspect is in custody after a man was shot in the buttocks on Beggs Lane in Escambia County. That happened about 3:30 yesterday afternoon. The sheriff's office says an argument led to one man shooting the other. The victim was taken to the hospital. The suspect's name has not been released. The clock is ticking for local governments to figure out where they'll be taking... where they'll be taking the homeless when they're required to start removing anybody sleeping on public property. One option being discussed is utilizing small pallet houses, distributing them to current shelter operators so they can increase available bed space.
Implemented and triaged out now, relatively speaking. So, you know, there's kind of like, here's how we can, if we can get a couple more beds at our nonprofit for people who are ready to have their own space, what does that do? It frees up a couple more beds inside, maybe on the intake side, or someone who's just coming off the street now has somewhere to go.
And that's Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves, who says he's committed to spending $1 million in federal ARPA funds to purchase the tiny homes. They'd be about the size of a garden shed, but built to withstand Florida winds and stay cool, even in intense heat. Reeves says these could be placed outside of existing shelters that already have mental health and addiction services, as well as running water and restrooms available. Well, it's day three of the dock worker strike at a number of major ports along the East and the Gulf Coasts, causing disruptions to the movement of goods. Now, workers in Mobile are on strike, but the Port of Pensacola is not being directly affected by that, according to the city. The union representing dock workers looking for higher wages and a ban on automation, which they feel could threaten their jobs down the road. The death toll now up to 175 across the southeast, with hundreds still missing after Helene and its remnants swept through the region. Vice President Harris yesterday.
The president and I have been paying close attention from the beginning to what we need to do to make sure the federal resources hit the ground as quickly as possible.
And areas of North Carolina have just been devastated by flooding. Becumbee County authorities say the death toll there is almost 60 now. Property damage estimated to be in the billions. Florida senators want the state's farmers to get the help they need quickly after Helene. Marco Rubio and Rick Scott sending a letter yesterday to the USDA. They're asking Secretary Tom Vilsack to expedite support for Florida farmers and agricultural producers as they recover from the storm. 735 now, News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right, brought to you by the Santa Rosa County Supervisor of Elections. Registration deadline for the November 5th general election is happening October 7th. New registrations need completion and received or postmarked by this date. If you'd like more information, go to votesantarosa.gov. Still no accidents right now on the big board, so we're doing good there. But we're seeing some delays at the intersection of Highway 29 and 9 Mile. Also, if you're coming from Pace into Milton on from Pace to Pensacola on Highway 90, you're going to start to see some delays before the scenic, about a five-minute delay there. And then I-10 eastbound from Pine Forest all the way down through Highway 29, we're seeing about a 10-minute delay through the construction zone there just due to congestion. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We do have a small chance of rain to go throughout the day today. 30% overall, otherwise partly cloudy skies with a high near 85 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Rain chances increasing on Friday, 60% chance of rain, high near 83. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 70. For the weekend, we will have small rain chances, 30% chance of rain on Saturday, 84 degrees for your high, low near 69. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, 73 in Pensacola, 71 in Gulf Breeze, 68 reported in Milton. Your next news at 8 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Tesla is finally gearing up to unveil its autonomous cabs on October 10th. Elon Musk has been teasing the new release for nearly a decade. The EV maker is not alone in adopting the tech. Alphabet-owned Waymo operates a commercial robo-taxi service in several U.S. cities. Amazon-owned Zoox began testing rides for employees using its own robo-taxi service. Costco has launched platinum bars on its website for roughly $1,090. The value of platinum has risen more than 15% over the past 12 months, though it has dropped over 8% since May. The amount of money needed to comfortably retire drastically varies state by state. According to a recent study, Hawaii is the most expensive, costing retirees roughly $129,000 per year. The least expensive, West Virginia, which requires roughly $58,000 per year to live comfortably. Futures are slightly lower ahead of unemployment data. That's Your Money Now.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
You depend on your vehicle.
Come on, come on, start already.
And you need a good auto shop to depend on as well. That shop is A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, now open on North W Street. They guarantee the lowest rates in Pensacola, and they offer a 2-year national warranty on all of their work. Their certified mechanics have got you covered. No matter the problem, one call does it all. 850-285-0958. A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, 4414 North W Street, Pensacola.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. We have a team of experienced broadcast experts who are dedicated to keeping you informed about the latest weather conditions and forecasts. We'll provide you with up-to-the-minute updates on any developing storms, as well as safety tips and information on how to prepare for a hurricane. So for the latest hurricane coverage, stay tuned to News Radio Pensacola on AM 1620, 92.3, 95.3, and on HD Radio at 98.7. We'll keep you safe.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in today at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
No, there ain't nothing that I gotta prove. You think your words will make me black and blue, but I think I'm pretty with these old boots on. I think it's funny when I drink too
much.
Good
morning, 741 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Mike Wood is on vacation, and Officer Gordon had a... Just a conflict, and so we're just going to talk about other stuff. Also, no crimes. I mean, not that none, but, you know, no big news crimes for PPD to come on and talk about. We don't like to waste their time or yours. A couple of big stories in the news over the last day. Number one, California is banning legacy and donor preferences in admissions at private and nonprofit universities. Years ago, they had already done this for public universities, but they are now making it so that private universities cannot favor legacy admissions at all. And as his press release said, in California, everyone should be able to get ahead through merit, skill, and hard work. The California dream shouldn't be accessible to just a lucky few, which is why we're opening the door to higher education wide enough for everyone fairly. Legacy admissions is a really weird subject because, you know, the people who might defend legacy admissions in other contexts would be opposed to the concept of putting somebody less capable in ahead of somebody more capable, which is what, like, affirmative action does, right? You, let's, for example, take a black student who scores lower and has worse grades and a white student who scores higher and has better grades, and you put the black student in for the purpose of remedying injustices of the past or creating a more diverse population so that you have better conversations. It's been kind of the modern version of affirmative action. But the sort of individual rights meritocracy view on that has always been, well, how dare you? This person earned it, that person didn't earn it. Which, by the way, begs a much longer question about how much of your own personal accomplishment you can claim you earned, which, again, has to do with the history and legacy of, you know, systemic racism and or oppression or lack of opportunity, because it's all fine and good to say I earned the grades on the SAT scores and that other student, minority student, did not. Yeah, but did you earn getting born into a good family? Did you earn going to a good school? Did you earn having a two-parent intact family? I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that benefit you that you can't personally say you earned. They were things that you were blessed with or inherited or got lucky with, and so all of that factors into your performance. Now, taking some of those thoughts and applying them to the legacy, legacy admissions have always been weird because it's the same basic issue of the underperforming son of a big alum, you know, gets in ahead of the higher performing son of a non-alum, a non-legacy. There's something about that that seems sort of fundamentally unjust. If you're thinking about individual merit, meritocracy, earn your way kind of thing. And so you say, well, how do they even defend legacy admissions? And by the way, remember, this is at private universities. This is not public universities. It's at private universities. And the question is, should a private university discriminate in favor of the children of prior graduates, right? That's what the question is. And it's a complicated answer, but, you know, you might think, well, how can you even defend it? Well, here's one. Legacies give money. And if legacies, you know, if alums didn't give money, they, you know, didn't think that their money and their contributions might earn their kids a place, they might not give money. And universities often depend on that money, especially private ones. We're not talking about a small amount of money here. So much money comes in from private donors. And if, you know, the Lindberghers didn't believe that their son, Smelly Cheese Lindberger, was not going to get into the school because the Lindberger business school and the Lindberger volleyball gym and Lindberger field weren't, you know, that's a problem for these universities trying to raise money. That doesn't justify it because that seems like money buying admission, which doesn't seem quite right. But that is one of the issues. Another one is like a continuing culture perpetuation. There's something different when somebody is a eighth generation versus a brand newbie. And, you know, even here in Pensacola, we have this conversation about people that have come from families that have lived here a long time, and they have a certain institutional legacy attachment to the culture of a place that's different from, say, somebody like Andrew McKay, who's lived here for 10 years. You know, and maybe that's better, maybe that's worse, but, you know, maybe it's useful to have people whose families have gone to, you know, some private school for the last 150 years. Now, here's what's interesting about all this to me. I think it seems weird for the state to step in and prohibit a private institution from picking its enrollees how it wants to pick them. You know, it could theoretically stop them from picking boys over girls or whites over blacks or something like that. I'm not sure where they get the justification to tell them they can't pick alum children over non-alum children. But I have lots of concerns about governments telling group associations who to pick for their membership. I think that's intrusive to begin with. But where I thought this got suddenly sideways interesting to me is I don't use like AI an awful lot, but every once in a while when I'm just thinking, you know, I'm not sure if I understand this issue well enough, let me, you know, go ask ChatGPT for some arguments. I'll tell you what ChatGPT did that was fascinating in this particular case. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. I-10 eastbound from Pine Forest all the way down through Highway 29 and past the construction zone is seeing some delays. I'd say about a 10 to 15 minute delay there. Also, if you're traveling down Highway 29, starting around East 10 Mile Road through the 9 Mile Road intersection and still going southbound through basically Car City, you're going to see some delays there, so just pack your patience. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, you want to make sure to get the best deal either way, and that means going with people who are your realtors who understand the market, the trends, what's normal, what are interest rates doing, what are insurance rates doing, because in the last couple of years, suddenly insurance in Florida has become a major determinant of whether you can afford a home once you buy it, and whether you should be obligated as a seller to repair certain things like, you know, it was an 11-year-old roof. Does that have to be repaired? Do you have to pay for that yourself before you sell the home? The water heater, the air conditioning, the, you know, are the faucets or the pipes rusty? And is that going to cost you a sale because that might be an insurance ding? Like, these are all things that might come up. And if you don't have a good real estate agent, they won't know or you won't know what's normal. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Reinke Realty absolutely know what's normal because they sell a lot of homes. 175 last year, 122 as of a couple of weeks ago this year. And so they do this enough that they can not only get you all the way through to the deal, you know, closing, but also they can help advise you on, no, that's, they're asking too much. Or no, you know, that's a reasonable thing. We're doing that now. People are doing that a lot because that's a very comforting thing to have an expert to know to give you that kind of advice. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Reinke Realty. Somebody texts in on the legacy admissions. I disagree. I totally earned being raised by somebody who made less than the minimum wage. Oh, no, agreed. There are many people who I think you can look at them and say they didn't inherit, you know, much benefit, and they achieved it themselves. Okay, true. The problem is when you're talking about legacy admissions, you know, people often will claim, well, I earned it. Yeah, well, you were given a lot, too. And particularly with legacy admissions, they're not this situation. They're not somebody who raised minimum wage. They're somebody who probably was wealthy. You know, probably contributed a lot. That's why they're a legacy admission to begin with. But back to this question of, you know, arguments for or against legacy admissions. I did something I don't do very often, which is I went to ChatGPT to ask, you know, hey, what do you think about this? I asked, what are the five arguments in favor of legacy admissions? Alumni loyalty and support, tradition and community, incentive for families, which, by the way, you know, if you know that you can work hard and donate money, then you create a place for your children. There's something weirdly anti-individualistic about things like inheritance, because a child gets come from their parents for no value of their own, virtue of their own. But there's also something very pro-reward to the individual about letting wealthy parents bequeath their money, because it gives them a reason to work and amass wealth because they're going to benefit their kids. So it's a very complicated subject, the issue of inheritance and individual merit. But back to the ChatGPT. Other advantages, diversity of experience. Legacies bring a different viewpoint, because they're not brand new, like the 8th generation Pensacolan brings a new viewpoint. And encouragement of philanthropy, because if you don't know that you're going to get your legacy kid in, you don't likely give as much money, and that's a big ding. So here's what struck me so sideways about asking ChatGPT. It went through the 5 arguments I asked it to give, and then it volunteered one I didn't ask for. While these arguments can be compelling, it's important to balance them with considerations of equity and access in the admissions process. What in the woke, unsolicited advice are you doing? Because I didn't ask for that. I didn't ask for counterpoint. And I certainly didn't ask for an asterisk of a nanny note. I told you to give me 5 arguments in favor of something, and you told me why I should be cautious, because it might not be equitable. Okay, so what's your next reaction to that? After you get through the weirdness and the intrusiveness of it and this clear bias at ChatGPT, well, you ask it the opposite question and see what happens. You ask it the question, what's wrong with legacy admissions? And then you wait to see if it'll give you a note that says, although many people oppose legacy admissions, there are some very important reasons why people favor them, and you should look into those, right? That would be true parallel structure. If that really gave me the unsolicited nanny note at the end in both directions. So I asked, what are the 5 arguments against legacy admissions? Equity and fairness, reduced diversity, stigmatization, because the legacy is an affirmative action, sort of, and they might be stigmatized as being dumber because they're legacies. That's the idea. Questionable value, that there's not much use to it, and misalignment with educational goals, like variety and so forth. And so I'm waiting for the context note at the end. The context note. These points highlight significant concerns regarding fairness and inclusivity in the admissions process. Meaning that the nanny note was, there you go, good enough. Now, I don't labor under the illusion of thinking that somehow, you know, AI is the inheritor of Walter Cronkite or Edward R. Murrow's, you know, neutrality in representing information. But this was just so creepy weird that it thought its duty as an artificial intelligence was to help nudge me in the right direction when I was maybe going astray in favor of legacy admissions, and then to encourage me that I was definitely going in the right direction when I was going against legacy admissions. So even your ChatGPT is politically correct these days. 752 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay, and I have some tickets to give away. What do you want to do here, John? You want to do Pensacola Symphony Orchestra?
Taste of Gold Breeze.
Oh, well, we just told him the other one.
So, well, you said it. Asked me.
I guess I did. Okay, fine. You know, I can go either way on this. So Taste of Gulf Breeze. That's tomorrow night. Two nights, Friday night. 6 to 9 p.m. is the general admission. 5 to 6 is the VIP. I don't know if there are any of those available still. Sorry. But it's a good event. It's a 21 up event. There's lots of food and lots of liquor. Trust me. it's a good event. So I have 2 tickets, 437-1620. Be fast. Caller number 2 right now, 437-1620. Call and win.
Hey, Northwest Florida, Dave Ramsey here. I want to tell you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. Owner Todd St. Ors and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of HVAC for the people who want comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors and humidity issues. So, if you need duct cleaning, duct repair, repairs or air filtration, you should call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768. They've been trusted members of the community for over 30 years. And remember what Todd always says, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768 or visit them online at gulfcoastaircare.com. And be sure and tell them that Dave Ramsey sent you.
Join Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola tomorrow at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Dr. Rebecca Gibbons will be here to answer your questions about the many benefits of acupuncture. If you suffer from chronic back pain, neuropathy, or joint pain, or even stress and anxiety, this is a show you will not want to miss. That is tomorrow at 9:30 with Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical, plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
New South Window lives southern weather, and our products are designed to keep the intense heat out and the cool air in. We prioritize keeping your family and your home comfortable all year round. That's why our energy-efficient windows and doors are made, installed, and guaranteed for life.
For a limited time only, save 35% off on New South Windows and Doors. Visit newsouthwindow.com/radio to learn more.
No matter how you listen, you can rely on News Radio Pensacola to keep you informed and safe when storms strike. You can listen on our mobile app.
So for you, come back 1 year.
.756 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Who was our winner for the Tasty Gulf Breeze tickets tomorrow night?
Kevin of Pensacola.
Kevin, very good. Hey, Kevin, I'll be out there, so come by and say hi to me tomorrow night. Love to meet you. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still seeing delays on I-10 eastbound as you're between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone. That's about a 10 to 15 minute wait. Also seeing some delays at if you're coming in from Pace to Pensacola via Highway 90, we're starting to see about a 10-minute backup there just due to congestion. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
A federal judge has blocked California's new law prohibiting deceptive ads and elections-related communications, including deepfakes. The judge ruled the law was too broad and stifled the free exchange of ideas. The FDA halting Hims & Hers generic weight loss drug sales. The company was allowed to sell a generic version of a popular diabetes and weight loss drug while it was in short supply, but the FDA says the shortage has been resolved, so pharmaceutical companies like Novo Nordisk and Eli Lilly will control that market again.
As a guy who never lived up to the height of my ancestors, my whole life has been spent wanting to see the shortage resolved.
Well, I'm glad you've made it. And scientists, Andrew, have announced that they have now mapped the entire brain of a fruit fly. Biological research could provide insights into brains across the entire animal kingdom. The research is being published in the journal Nature, and it shows more than 50 million connections between 140,000 neurons in the brain.
I've got a joke that I'm working on, and I can't quite land it, but it's something along these lines. Well, you know, much like mapping the world, the problem is, you know, most of the brains of flies wind up flat on the windshield, and I don't know, couldn't make it work. Sorry.
It was almost there.
Yeah, right. It was terrible.
So close.
7:58 on News Radio 92.3. What was it you said about the ChatGPT thing? You said the most interesting part of that was that it taught you
that you
you
that I would fight with ChatGPT.
You would sit there and fight with it because it would give you a point, and you're like, "Well, no."
Well, I'm not going to argue with it, but when it's biased, you know, I don't like that. But well, yeah, no, that is a very me thing to fight with ChatGPT.
You could
yeah,
go for weeks for sure. doing that. I mean, just nonstop.
So the 60-day rule, apparently, Jack Smith is in violation of now that he's released the new version of the charges against Trump designed to work around the Supreme Court saying that you can't charge the president, even a former president, with public acts that are in his domain as president. And he's saying, well, these were private acts as a candidate. Yeah, but a month before the election? Really? A month before the election? Wouldn't prudence say, well, wait till after the election and then see what happens and then go from there instead of doing it a month before the, even though they're updates of prior charges, still.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.